Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, it's Katie Martone. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And welcome to Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. I'm coming to you live from deep inside Santa's big bag of gifts. And today, I have an extra special guest specific to the holiday. And I came upon her in such a sweet way through a friend named Michael Matucci, who many of you may remember. I had him on my show a while back. I'm going to have him back soon because he's writing a book. But he was here talking about human sex trafficking and human trafficking and about the survivors of that. And it was an incredible, heavy, intense show. And he's going to come back and talk to us about all of the gains that have happened over the last few years and all the wonderful stories, but also just share the reality of what that is all about. And pardon my stuffed nose. I have been dealing, we're here in Florida for Christmas, and we were, my husband was putting up a wall, and I was like inhaling all the dust. And so for the last few days, I've just been like dealing with this crazy, crazy sinus drywall inhaling. Anyway, not important. But our guest today is, and so he had her on his on a live, on an Instagram live, and I just stumbled upon it and was watching, and I was just enthralled by her. Her name is Charlene Boddy. She's a missionary and evangelist from Denver, Colorado. Charlene studied at Oral Roberts University and is a licensed minister, professional journalist, author, speaker, TV producer, media consultant with 20 years plus experience with print and broadcast media, all levels of government, academia, and the entertainment industry. In addition, she has served as press officer for two White House assignments and is a former federal spokesperson for several of America's largest natural disasters. Her first book, True Grid, Discovering God's Custom Design Blueprint for You, was published in 2004. Ms. Boddy brings a rich feast to the body of Christ and in her own unique style has reached many unchurched non-believers with the gospel. So I absolutely love this woman. I fell in love with her. I feel like I have a soul connection with her. She is just madly in love with Jesus. And she has an incredible ministry. She wrote a book that I ended up getting because obviously when I saw her in the live, I was like, oh, she's so great to listen to. She's a wonderful storyteller, really engaging. So I bought her book called No Appointments Necessary. And I highly recommend this book. I bought it through Audible and I was just walking down the streets listening to it and walking my dog every day listening. And it is enthralling. Her stories of healing and prophetic ministry. And I mean, it's unbelievable. The book is so good. I was crying, I was laughing, all sorts. And so I reached out to her and invited her on the show and thought it would be a wonderful Christmas special. And indeed it is. So please enjoy Charlene Boddy. So yeah. This is going to be so crazy because I already started crying earlier when I was getting ready and I was getting chills. So I just,
crying about what?
Okay. So I said to Charlie, my husband, I said, you know, I've been doing this podcast for like 7 years and.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I don't really get nervous anymore. And so I told him that I was nervous and he said, why? And I said, I'm interviewing one of God's favorite disciples today.
Bless your heart. You know, I'm just a girl.
Yeah.
I'm just a girl
special.
Who loves the Lord, you know,
Jesus. I got to tell you, my friend Kelly, who also commented in your post, we were talking about it and, you know, she brought me, I've always been a believer my whole life. I was raised Catholic and always felt like I had a special connection to Jesus. And then I even had a wonderful encounter with Jesus or a dream or I don't know, visitation. I don't know what it was, but I was 19. I was about to get married for the first time. And and there was like this amazing, and I had also just met a girl. I was modeling, and I met a fellow model, and she was just a Christian God lover. She was just really witnessing to me the entire trip. We worked together on this job, and
Wonderful.
right after that, I was meant to get married, and then I had this dream, and I talked to Jesus, and I had some questions, and it was really
Wow.
amazing,
I'm sure.
but then I kind of fell away because my family did like an intervention because they were not down with the born again concept, and they
Oh, wow.
literally did an intervention that still
No
is,
way.
yeah, that's still I still feel like I need like some, it's like a little PTSD from it, right? And which came with some shame and some judgment, like a fear of judgment.
Okay,
But
I
I,
can understand that. I
yeah.
went to Catholic schools growing up, so I totally get that.
Yeah. And so anyway, I fell away, and then just a few years back, we live in Venice Beach, and there is a huge gang. Yeah, there's a huge gang vibe here. The Shoreline Crips are from here, and I've lived here for almost 30 years. And there was this murder, this gang thing, were in front of my house, and it
No
changed.
way.
Yeah, and it changed my. It really brought me back to God. But she helped me do that, and she's the one. So she bought your book as well, and we were reading it at the same time, and.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we were just going back and forth. She was like, this part and this part and the angels and that we were just it was truly it really helped me face these things I'm dealing with now with this judgment and this shame stuff.
Praise God.
Yeah, and so that's not really even what I wanted to talk about or I didn't know what I was going to talk about today.
Well, yeah, let the Holy Spirit move you. The best thing I think a believer needs right now, Kitty, is to be able to hear the voice of God for yourself.
Okay, so let's,
And that's why I teach what I teach all over the globe.
yeah, well, let's dive in there because I know you teach it, so I don't want you to, give away all the goodies. But what, first of all, for believers, what is the thing that challenges the obstacle that gets in our way from hearing the Lord? What is the main obstacle?
I think the main obstacle is second guessing ourselves. We are designed by God, according to Proverbs 20, verse 12. We are designed to hear and see. And it says in the Bible, right there, Proverbs 20, verse 12, that we are designed with ears to hear and eyes to see, and that both are gifts from God. So, when we get religion in the way and all these other things, and so many people, I'm amazed how many people that are Christians right now are saying, you really can't hear God every day. It's amazing to see how many people say that, and that's not true. You can hear God every day. They're like, you hear from him every day? Yes. I'm like, yeah, how can you not? I mean, we absolutely need that in today's world. And to be able to not second guess ourselves is a huge thing. We need to understand that we were designed to hear from him, that he gave us a spirit to be linked with him. And that's why he told his disciples, he said, don't leave Jerusalem without it. Well, without what? What was he talking about? The Holy Spirit. He said it many times to them. He didn't say, don't leave without Amex or MasterCard or Visa. He said, don't leave without the Holy Spirit. Well, they didn't know what that was. They'd never seen the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 had not happened yet. But Acts 2, it needs to be happening worldwide. I mean, the first thing I did as I got saved as a young girl was have someone say to me, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? Now, in the 70s and 80s, that was mandatory when you led someone to the Lord. Now, churches don't even talk about the Holy Spirit that much. And we absolutely need the Holy Spirit. There will be no signs and wonders on planet Earth without the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew it. He told his band of merry men, he said, don't go without it. They didn't know. They were all locked up, wondering what was going to happen next. And then the tongues of fire landed on them, and the world never was the same again. They turned the world upside down. They totally were infused with what scripture calls in the Greek, dunamis power. And that's where we get the word dynamite from. Dynamite power. We have that housed inside of our bodies. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, once you understand who you are as a child of God, this is about inheritance. And so many believers are living beneath their inheritance.
Right. So you said people let religion get in the way. How do you mean?
You know, ritual thinking and anything that would go against what, you know, I would call just letting the Holy Spirit, letting the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all who they are. I think so many times, you know, we're separating people out with different religions out there. And we're trying to cage God, you know. Everybody says, oh, we love God. We go to church on Sundays. But anything that would try to separate us from the real Jesus, you know, the real Holy Spirit, the real Father God, really fights that. How many people said to me, oh, I believe in God, but no, I don't believe that the stuff you say, Shar, is for today. And in the theological world, we would call them cessationists. Because they would say, oh, we don't think there's apostles today, or we don't think there's prophets today. Many seminaries are teaching that, and that's a lie.
Right.
There are 21 spiritual gifts in the Word of God, 21 listed out, and all of them are in existence on planet Earth today. And I grew up in a church where all those gifts flowed. The Holy Spirit was allowed to do what he says he does, you know.
Wow.
And I feel so bad for believers whose leaders are telling them that's not true. You know, there's so many different cults out there, and even, yes, Christian religions that will say, oh, I don't think healing's for today, Char. I'm like, really? Well, tell that to the lady whose fingers I prayed for that grew on instantly here in England.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah. And so tell her, you know, who was 8 days old in Jesus Christ, and she had a plate glass window accident where two nubs of fingers were gone. And when I prayed for her, they grew on, and she felt the heat under her bandages. I thought she was a burn victim, a real test of never assume. And I looked at her priest and I said, burn victim? As she came toward me, and he goes, oh yeah, looks like it. And we're assuming because of the gauze bandages. What I did know is that two parts of two fingers were missing. And when I prayed for her, I asked her, I said, is it okay if I lightly touch your bandages? I'm just going to anoint you with oil because the Bible says the elders of the church are meant to do that. I'm an ordained minister. That's what I do. I love praying for the sick so the Lord can show up and do what he wants to do. I'm just the vessel. He's the master physician. I prayed for that lady. And later that night, her bandages were on fire. And she screamed for her husband to unwrap those hands. And when he did, she started screaming because she watched that flesh grow on that wasn't there.
Wow.
And he says, what do you want me to do, love? What do you want me to do? You know what to do? And she said, get the priest, get the priest. Well, the priest called me on the phone. He said, you've got to get back here. I wasn't living in the UK yet. I said, what do you mean I've got to get back? I just landed. I just got here. And he goes, you've got to come back. He said, revival has broken out in the village. And he said, I don't know what to do. I said, oh boy, here we go. So I got back on the flight, came back to the United Kingdom.
What?
People that had no desire to walk into a church here got saved. It was the wildest thing. And the lady whose fingers grew on, she said, Charlene, why me? I said, sweetheart, what do you do for a living? I said, just humor me. What do you do for a living in the village here? She says, well, I'm the village music teacher. I said, really? I said, don't you think you get to have 10 digits? And she goes, I guess you're right. I said, sweetheart, it's not about who deserves anything. God can do whatever he wants to do. And he just wanted you to have your 10 fingers back. Is that okay?
Aww.
She goes, yeah. Well, guess what her last name was? This is where it's even more fun. Pentecost.
What?
Uh-huh. See, God has a sense of humor. And I'm like, just incredible. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So today that person is probably she has one of the strongest prophetic gifts of anyone I've met in this country.
Wow.
She really got to know the Lord. She was in my first class where I taught on the Holy Spirit. Mind-blowing testimony. And she is a very fine, very gifted musician. Absolutely, God wanted her to have all 10 digits.
Right. No.
No
Wow.
doubt.
So she, wow. Okay. You've blown me away. This story was not in the book, right?
No, and
Yeah.
I probably need to put it in the sequel. I haven't done that yet
Yeah.
because, I sat with Holy Spirit and I said, I have so many different countries of stories. And at the time, the publisher at first said, you can do, I don't care how many countries you do, how many sections, in other words, it'll be a fat book. And then it was a budget issue. So then they came down on the amount of countries. And then we decided how it was going to be done. And so Holy Spirit said, okay, do this, 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 and this. And I just followed the Lord and I just let it go. But now people like yourself and so many others around the globe, oh my goodness. And men love the book. I mean, I'm going to say maybe even more than women. They are asking me for the sequel. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, there are a ton more stories we need to tell.
Well, let me
There's
tell
so many.
you,
Come on, Lord.
I can see this as a series. Like I see this as an actual television series, of you
It'll be
traveling.
lovely.
Yeah, would
I
be
think it'll
so.
be fun because here's what's happening now, Kitty. Okay, so when people would read the book that you guys have, various friends of mine said, I want to travel with Char. I want my own travel stories. And so you read about Chinsia in the book, who's a real
Yeah.
person who lives in Denver. And we've gone to many, many countries together and seen the Holy Spirit move. But then, there's other friends that have come too. And they've seen things and they're like, Char, are you going to put our story in the next book? And I think there will be some really funny stories we've got to tell what it's like when Christians have fun. And I think when you know who the Holy Spirit is, put two women in London who know the Holy Spirit and then see what happens. It is mind-blowing to see what the Lord does because God has a sense of humor. And I love what you're saying because I've just said, God, I'll write the books you want me to write. This book is reaching all ages.
Yeah.
We put it on Audible. The original producer for MTV produced it for Audible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's the one that
Yeah.
gives the end, he talks in the end. Is that the guy who talks at the
Michael, who actually did the back cover quote on the Audible version.
Okay. I
And
thought I recognized his voice, but that wasn't the
yeah.
guy, the producer from MTV. He didn't speak on the Audible at all.
I don't think he did. He did
Okay.
the music. He did some of the
Okay.
music for it and just wept. I mean, he wept. The Holy Spirit met him in that booth and we had to stop several times. And I just had to say, hey, are you okay? He's like,
Oh.
God is touching me. And he would just, I mean, he just would just lose it. And again, the men, I had no idea how that book was going to reach men, but it's caused police chiefs in America to go to seminary. Can you believe that?
What?
I've had grown men get on flights from America to Heathrow and be on their way to Europe. They think they're going to just you have some great retirement as cops or whatever. And the Holy Spirit says, where do you think you're going? You're going to seminary. Get back on that plane.
What?
Because men who will tell me now that they've run from God, get convicted in the right way. Condemnation is of Satan. But conviction to turn into God's direction for your life and destiny is of the Lord. And I said, what? You read the book on the flight and now you're cutting your trip. You're going to get back on the plane and go back and do what God told you. And they're like, yeah. He talked to me
Wow.
on the flight. And I'm like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And God's like, I absolutely want you to do another one. Now, I
Yeah.
don't know how many there'll be. But because to me, it's a continuation of the book of Acts, which is what I believe all of our lives are meant to be. All of us get to do a continuation of the book of Acts, but you just get to put your hand, in God's hand, like the old song from the 60s said, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters, I love all the songs that came out about Jesus in the 60s. They were
Yeah.
amazing. 60s and 70s. What about the Doobie Brothers? Jesus is just all right with me. I love that.
And what
And
about
I'm just
J Jesus is waiting? That's babe, who is that? Not Otis Redding. Who is it? Jesus is waiting. And that was the 70s, I think. And there was also what about the well, this one is Ecclesiastes. It's the a time for
Yes.
war, a time for peace.
Yes. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Oh
So
yeah.
many
There were
songs.
just exactly because Jesus Of course, there was a Jesus movement in America. The Holy Spirit zapped all kinds of hippies. And it started in California and went all the way across the country. And some of my friends, you know, I grew up with were some of those hippies.
Nice.
And they were
well, it's time for that again.
It is. It is. It's time because there are many prophetic voices in America that are saying right now that God has told them there will be a billion man harvest. Wow. And that's with a capital B. That they're sensing in their spirits that that is what the next revival is going to be like. And I'm saying, Lord, bring it on, because people need to understand that you're alive and not dead. That's the whole reason I wrote that book. And they need more of us to be living out the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
people
know,
are very, they're saying that the church is dying, and that the Christian, you know, Christian churches are becoming a thing of the past. And I feel like that's not true. I feel like there is, I mean, I'm seeing more people come to Jesus, and I'm seeing more people talk about, I think that also in these kind of perilous times, I think it's making people turn to God, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the old saying from World War I and World War II is there are no atheists in the trenches.
Right.
It's the truth. And I will tell you, being a disaster chick, I have never
disaster
had
chick.
Anybody, I mean, every disaster I've ever worked in America, not one person has turned me down from sharing the gospel with them.
Right.
I'm like, you know, yeah, they're freaked out. They're scared. And yes, they're aware of their own mortality. When a natural disaster happens and you have a class 5 hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake like Northridge, you're like, oh my gosh. Scripture says we're but a vapor. That's how fleeting life can be. And I'm saying, but how would you like to live forever if you knew you could? In glory with Jesus. And, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because no one turns you down from that. They want to hear it. And how many times have I shared the gospel with people and seen them get saved in a disaster?
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that gets in people's way, including mine, is, you know, you were brought up with a mother, a single mom who taught you the word, who was teaching you the word from get-go, right? You wouldn't even leave the house without reading from the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, and I said this to my friend Kelly, I said, you know, sometimes I feel like I don't want to listen to the first voice, because I don't know the word very well. I have a very difficult time reading the Bible, very difficult. And I struggle with it so much. And so I feel like God's not going to talk to me yet, because I don't know the word, or I'm not going to, you know, have these prophetic moments if I don't know the word. What do you think of that?
Well, you know what? Here's what the word says, that the way to renew your mind, you know, and Joyce Myers always said it, the battlefield's in the mind. And she wrote a book by that title. And it's true. The battle is in our minds. And I'm living in the country that they believe per capita has the highest level of dyslexia in the world. And many of my students, dyslexia is in all of my classes. Many, many British people struggle with reading and learning disabilities here. It's just
really?
The way it is here. Yeah. And people say, well, how can you teach them with this, you know, big syllabus and whatever, with all your notes and stuff? And you know what they find out is that the more they read the word is alive. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says that the word of God is active and alive, and it separates your soulish realm from your spiritual realm. And it, you know, it just lets you see things more clearly. The more you read it, Kitty, the more your brain is like, whoa, this is made for me. This is my God. This is his word. It's his love letter to me. Every dyslexic or dyspraxic person that has ever been in a class with me about God's word, they love it. They fall in love with the Bible. One construction worker couldn't wait to get out of school. Here in the UK, kids are allowed to leave school at 16.
Wow.
And most kids I meet, they hate school. Okay, I love school. I had the coolest Catholic upbringing in my school. We love my priests. I love my cool nuns. You know, they're awesome. And I did not have these nasty childhoods that some people have had in Catholic situations. It was idyllic. It was just wonderful. So anyways, I had this great Christian Anglo-Catholic upbringing. I was raised Church of England. which here you would call Anglican. In America, you call it Episcopalian.
Mm.
And we just did not have to deal with, any kind of nasty stories. We had a wonderful Christian ethos at home and at school and all that. But I'm aware not many people have that.
Mm.
But when I'm talking to young people, and I work with all ages, when I talk to young people that can't stand the Bible and whatever, whatever, and even oldies here in their 80s that can't stand it, and they start reading it, you know, it renews the mind. And that's exactly what it says on the tin. The Bible says, you know, if you will read me, then I will renew your mind. And John 1:1 says, Jesus is the word. So he is waiting for you to come to him. And the thing that I do with people that I first lead to the Lord is get them to start a 1-year Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And I always ask them, do you have 15 minutes for God? Right now, there's a great YouTube thing that comes on every day called Give Him 15 with one of my favorite prophets,
okay.
Dutch Sheets. He said, do you have 15 minutes? Well, Jesus asked for an hour in Gethsemane when he was about to be crucified. But really, it only takes 15 minutes to read a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New, and a little bit of Psalms and a little bit of Proverbs every day. And then by the end of a year, you've done the whole Bible.
Mm.
I've done that every year since I was 16. Not because I think I'm super spiritual, but just because I know it's him.
Mm.
And I want to spend more time with Jesus. And he is the word. And I mean, W, capital W-O-R-D.
Mm-hmm.
It is who he is. And the word has always been around. It's what God used to create the world is the word.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you, anybody listening to this today that says, oh, Shara, I never really liked school. I don't like reading and the Bible's too hard for me. The more you read it, if you could just give God 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
keep reading it and then jot down your questions. And yes, find a good minister that you trust that knows the word and get them to explain to you any of the stuff. Jot down, journal like King David did. Mm-hmm. Write down your questions to God and let's get those questions answered.
Wow.
Because I don't know anyone. And I'm telling you, I'm in the highest level of dyslexia per capita in the world right here.
Huh.
And all of my students finish and they are reading the word and loving it. One guy got out of school at 16, construction worker, never went to university, had no desire to go to college or anything like that. His wife said, what'd you do to my husband? He just can't put the Bible down. He hated school. And what'd you do to him? I mean, it changed their life. It changed their marriage. It changed their family. It changed him as head of household, and he fell in love with Jesus. I mean it.
Aww.
He fell in love. And one of the things I teach people how to do is proper word studies. If one passage of scripture is daunting to someone,
mm-hmm.
let's go one verse at a time. And when I show you how to do that, like, and I call it the devotional thing, and this is what I was taught as a young girl,
mm-hmm.
if you go one verse at a time, then it makes people hungry for the passages, but we make it fun learning how to deal with one verse at a time.
Yeah.
And people just love it. It's just great. People are like, oh, sure, come do a retreat for us. One verse at a time. We love it. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just, but to really, you know, teach the word the way that the Lord did. And that's kind of what we need to be doing. I think I had great youth leaders. They really made the word come alive. And I just couldn't get enough of the word as a little girl. The principal of my school, he made us recite the verses that we memorized, you know, every week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was raised Lutheran. And then he got zapped by the Holy Spirit. And he goes, wait a minute. We're not telling these kids the full story. They go, okay, then you're going to be excommunicated from like the Lutheran world. He's like, I don't care. He's like, God bless you. I'm going to do a Holy Spirit school for kids, K-12. And that's what he did. And
wow.
He called it Center. And that is where...
What did he call it?
Jesus Center.
Okay.
Was the name of the school in Denver. And he said, I want Jesus at the center. And I want Bible teachers for children that really teach them who Jesus really is.
Mm.
And who the Holy Spirit is. Powerful. Changed my life. Because
amazing.
I, you know, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So as a little girl, like I said earlier, one of my first teachers was 100% Greek. And he just made it, just leapt off the page at me. And by the time he got me to come to Greece and help him open a bookstore.
Right.
Oh
the
God.
Upper Room, right?
That's right. The Upper Room. He brought the first Christian bookstore to Greece. powerful. He's still alive. He's in his 80s, but Uncle Tony is still alive and well and still loves Jesus and is just a walking encyclopedia of
Love it.
Greek with regard to the Bible. And if you go to those holy places that Paul went to and that Jesus walked, and you're already reading the Bible, it makes everything come alive even more so.
Wow. Yeah, that's on my bucket list for sure. I mean,
Absolutely.
your book is so good. The adventures that you have had and just where the Holy Spirit has led you and the experiences. And the thing that really, really touched me so much about your story and your book was just how trusting. I mean, it's even just from the airplane with the turbulence and the woman that was going to puke. I mean, all the is so funny. There's right after that, somebody posted something on Instagram Reel, and it was like, it was dark, so they had their camera on, but you couldn't see anything. But
yeah,
they were going through turbulence, and you could hear these two women praying in tongues, and they were like, "Holy Jesus!" And they were going off in tongues, and they had these little emojis of laughter. And but you had this incredible, you know, ability to just trust and not second guess yourself at all. And it's honestly, I felt envy through the whole thing. I was
Well,
like,
you know what?
how you?
Yeah, I think it's just because again, let's go back to the word. Hebrews 5:14 says, practice and training, Kitty. And that's all I've had. I think I've had great mentors and great teachers. I really have to give props to my Uncle Tony in Athens, because he started with me when I was a little girl. But then the person that mentored Joyce Meyer, you know, I grew up in her house, and that's Marilyn Hickey. And my mom traveled with her. My mom was her house manager and later her dean of students for her Bible college. Marilyn is the top woman Bible teacher in the world today.
Really?
She
I mean,
is in her, 90s, and she's leading the revival in Pakistan.
Wow.
And just praying for the sick and seeing them get healed. And she is afraid of no one. And I always said, you know, as a little girl, I'd sit on her bed and watch her pack to go on trips while my mom was getting her suitcases ready. And I would say, Lord, I want to do what she's doing. Well, be careful what you pray for, because I get to do that. And
Exactly.
Sometimes in some scary places, you end up taking the light of God with you, but you always win. And I really believe in just helping people understand, get close to them. I think the main reason I'm here, I was never supposed to be born. I'm a miracle baby.
Really?
Yeah, there was a fight over my birth big time. And I'm here with all 10 fingers and toes, nothing wrong with me or anything that we know of, that I get to promote Jesus. And, you know, my life is to make him more famous. And also, as a teacher of his word, help people get close to him. That's the whole point of me being alive, is to help people get close to him and see people meet him. That's the best thing for me.
Yeah.
You know,
so much healing in your book too. I mean, it's just incredible to hear all of those experiences. And, you know, I'm walking around, cause I'll like walk my dog and listen to the audible and like, you know, hear about this like peach sized tumor and then like it disappearing. And my brain is like, wow, that's unbelievable. That's like, I wonder if she's exaggerating. I wonder if there was something, a misdiagnosis. But then my body has chills all over it. At one point, I just stopped in the road. I was walking my dog. I promise you, I just started to cry. And it wasn't even when
he's so good. And it's all about him. And, you know, when you talk about that particular tumor, you're talking about the train story.
Yeah.
That you can't refute a CAT scan in a hospital with atheists who are sitting there looking at the film in their hand.
Right.
They're screaming and shouting. They're crying. They're excited. And they know that they were on the train with me. They know who healed their mother. And then they then say, guess what? We're all going to meet Jesus this Sunday.
Yeah.
The whole family's going to church, because there's no way you can tell us Jesus isn't real.
They said, we want to meet this Jesus friend of yours.
That's it. They said, because it was the first thing in their mouth, as you know, and the train was, ma'am, we don't go to church or nothing, is what the daughter said. We don't go to church or nothing. I said, that's okay. God isn't judging you over that. Most of the people he worked with, you know, not all of them had ever been in church. Mm-hmm. They were sinners. And Jesus came for the people who were sick and needed a savior. He wasn't coming for those that were holier than thou. He was very clear about that. And that's what I have to be. We're meant to be, you know, offshoots of him. We're supposed to be walking around his image. And if people think, oh, I'm not good enough to meet Jesus, well, then we've blown it. Yeah. And I had to make sure that family knew that, that the Lord wanted to heal them in spite of.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you just made such a good point about, like, you know, that you don't think you're worthy, because there's a fine line, isn't there? Like, you said earlier that, that the woman whose hands you healed, she said, why me? And there's an, there's certainly you want to be humble, and you know, you don't deserve it, but then you also don't want to be self-deprecating and say, Jesus didn't love me because I don't deserve anything. Like, that's a fine line, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's hard for people to, you know, just understand the depth of his love. You know, I was, you know, looking at all these different things. You know, the word in Hebrew for the levels of God's love for us is dodeka.
Dodeka.
And I was looking at that. It's the plural form of the love of God for us. And it really is, if you put it in English, it's the loves, plural, L-O-V-E-S. There are levels of the love that God has for us. And that is why I love teaching in the Greek and Hebrew. And, you know, and me just doing that saved my head when the guy tried to kill me. You know, you read about that story.
Right.
He's like, are you teaching this? You know? And I'm like, yeah, because I love the word so much, but it really brings it home to people. So when you look at the loves of God, the levels of his love for us in the Hebrew, it's dodeka. And I mean, his love is so deep. It's so high. It's so wide.
Yeah.
You can't even fathom it. And he's not sitting there looking at a family on a train with a dying wife and mother saying, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus, we're not going to touch her. They've never darkened the doorstep of a church. That is not the God we serve.
Right. Amen. Wow. Ah, so what about, I want to talk a little bit about prophecy, because you said earlier, people don't think, a lot of churches and a lot of people don't think that that's for today. Like, even if they are believers, they're like, it's not for today. What is prophecy? What is it? And what is, and what is it for? What is the reason for it?
Prophecy is hearing God's voice and stepping forward and speaking it out, what you hear him say.
Okay.
And there are levels to that gift. It's talked about three different times. There's three different sets of the prophetic gift. The first time we see it is the simple level, that beginning level of the prophetic gift. And that's in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. When you're called to be a prophet 24/7, we call that the fivefold gifts as prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, apostle. There's five different equipping gifts that equip the body of Christ for all the ways that God wants to use them in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a calling. You have to hear first for yourself, and then the church leaders around you have to acknowledge that is part of your calling. So that's when you're doing it 24/7. And that is like the fourth level of the prophetic gift. When you're doing it as an office gift, like, you know, the president does that job 24/7 every day, right?
Right.
So when we say that, it's the office gifts or the equipping gifts for the body of Christ. They train the body and equip them to go and do and be the hands and feet of Jesus. But the third level of the prophetic gift is when you're not just hearing for yourself what God wants you to do, but that in that third set of gifts, we see it again in prophecy that is corporate. So when you have a prophet in a church, a local church level, they're prophesying and they're giving corporate words, which are words from God's heart to a congregation. But then those same people at the local church level also have the gift to be able to call someone out of an audience and prophesy over them and say, hey, God sees this couple. This is what he's going to do with your business, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we're teaching that. We should be. I mean, prophetic schools are in the earth. America has some of the most, the foremost of prophetic schools. There's schools in Florida. There's a school in Denver. There's a school in Kansas City, which is the only place that has 24/7 worship. So if you go to IHOP, you can learn about the prophetic.
Mm.
And there are prophetic schools all throughout the earth. And yet ours is pretty, you know, comprehensive, because we're teaching all those different levels. You know, what does that gift of prophecy look like at the local church level?
Mm.
Could you have a prophet at church? Yes, you can. What does it take? Training and practice. Could you be on a prophetic team, but you're not really a prophet full time? Yes, that's the third level. And we see that in scripture. Everything we teach on the prophetic is in the Bible. That is the plumb line for all prophetic teaching, is what does the word of God say about it? So there's a lot of different ways to use the prophetic. You know, the prophetic that speaks about your...
Work out the prophetic.
Well, where you have like your past and present and also your future. So a person that is a prophet 24/7 can call you out in church or just walk up to you in a restaurant and give you a word that is pivotal to your destiny. And that is what prophecy is for. It works in and outside of the church.
Wow.
So, you know, I see God using it all the time with people that, you know, you might be in a church meeting, and we train up teams in our school, our Led by the Spirit school. This is what our friend, you know, Michael, you know, studied with us and learned how to do that. So you've got everything from the biblical times is operating today. There are schools of prophets. There are prophetic teams that will minister to people one-on-one. People right now with me, like where I'm at right now, they're flying in from all over Asia. I don't know what's going on with Asia right now, but when lockdown happened, I did a short prophetic course online that 90 people did in 6 countries.
Wow.
So I've got all these people coming from Asia, just flying in from Asia to England for like a 2-hour meeting with some kind of prophetic question. They'll get the ministry, then they get back on a flight and go back to Asia. That is blowing my mind. I've never seen anything like that happen. But that's kind of what's going on right now, because people are just saying we need solid voices. And my whole thing is that I just believe that we need to get Christians to hear from the Lord for themselves first, and then also find out what their spiritual gifts are. So when I life coach people, you're either going to find out your spiritual gifts in prophetic school with us, or you're going to say, hey, Char, I want you to work with me on my destiny, my personal destiny. And either way, we're going to find out what your spiritual gifts are in one of those two courses.
Okay.
Because it's so key. So many people are in churches, but they don't know that they have spiritual gifts from God, and that Jesus did that so that the body as a whole, when we come together, we represent him. But each part of us is necessary. And as I said earlier, there are 21 spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed how many churches do not talk about this ever.
I know. I'd never heard of it. I mean, I'd heard of spiritual gifts, but I didn't know. Yeah.
So the definitions I was giving you about the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that's in that third set of gifts that's found in 1 Corinthians 12.
Okay.
And it's the whole set of all the gifts of the Spirit is what that set of gifts is called. And it's all where all the miracles take place. So all that kind of stuff that the Lord likes to use me with, the gifts of healing, where I'm not talking your toenail grows, I'm talking fingers and yeah, tumors disappear and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I always said as a little girl, God, I want to do that. Well, scripture says the Holy Spirit decides who gets to do it. But I've always said as a kid, I said, Lord, I just want to help people. I just hate to see sick people. I just want to help God. Just show me what you want me to do. So that part of my job here is to be an apostolic leader, just like Paul, that would help people find out what is your destiny? What are your spiritual gifts? How can we help you grow with that? And then what does God want to do with that? Are you called into the workplace? Are you called to the marketplace? Because I've always worked in the marketplace, but with the Holy Spirit. And I think God wants Holy Spirit filled people in every one of the 7 mountains of influence.
Wow.
Every single. We need Spirit-filled teachers. We need Spirit-filled government leaders. We need Spirit-filled people in the entertainment industry. We need them in business. We need them in family situations. We need them in the military. We just need to have God's people able to hear him as a lifestyle in every sphere of influence.
Yeah. So then you teach that, you do courses, and also do you do private sessions? Probably. Do you do like?
Yeah, well, we've had to really do that since COVID, just because so many people, when churches kind of went dead for a while, not every church did, but did. And some of those churches have found it difficult to reopen because people just scattered and people need a shepherd. And we're seeing people come from all over the world to my little house here in England. I'm just like, wow, God, what in the world's going on? But even when I was home recently to visit, this year, we had business leaders coming from South America for Holy Spirit sessions. That blew my mind. I've never seen
Wow.
that. But people who
Incredible.
know me have, it's just been word of mouth, and they've said, okay, can you please just tell my friend how this works? And can you pray with them? And let's see what Holy Spirit says. And many, many interesting things happen for those business leaders to the point where I really hear the Lord saying, come back to the States and just serve your country, but in this way. This, let me just kind of take it from there. So I'm just saying, okay, over to you, Holy Spirit, because we're in the days where people are looking for those signs of Jesus. And Romans 8 is very clear. That whole chapter talks about the proof that the Holy Spirit is in us, that it means it's we've been adopted by the Lord. It also says in that same chapter that the earth is waiting for the true sons and daughters of the living God to rise up. And that's like you and me. And when people are walking around and they're hurting, and you see something, the Holy Spirit tells you to go pray for someone and they get healed. It's that's what he's talking about. It's a mantle of authority. It's a level of authority that the world itself right now is waiting for us to step into. And that's for every man and woman who knows the Lord. And I believe leaders like myself have to be ready and willing to mentor and equip the body of Christ for what needs to be happening. You know, how many times have I sat in an airport and seen something not right? And, somebody can hear me in the row behind me and they're like, hey, do you believe in healing? And I'm like, yeah. One lady said, my back is just killing me. And I'll probably never see her again until I get to heaven. But she stopped me in the airport lounge, dropped her carry-on bag, and said, I can't go on to the next flight. And I may even miss it, but could you pray for me? I said, are you kidding? Yes, sister. Whipped out the anointing oil, dropped my carry-on bag in the middle of an airport lounge, and just put my hand on her and said, heal her. She was instantly healed and sent me an email that night saying, I'm here at my daughter's. I'm feeling great. Thank you, Jesus. Charlene, thank you for that prayer. I'm here with the family. Everything's good. I'm holding my first grandchild. It's all good. Thank you so much, sister. I'm like, that's what it's about. You know, I am so, just not ashamed of him. I'm like, I mean, if somebody's bold enough to ask you to do that, then all you have to do is be willing, because the power source is the Lord. But he wants to use us. He wants us to step in to our inheritance. And this week, God's just been telling me the importance of understanding that when you read out a will, Kitty, the will can only be enforced when that person is dead, right? So Jesus' death and now his resurrection, that enforces the will. What is his last will and testament? The Bible. So when you and I crack the Bible and we find out who we are, look out, world. Look out.
I
You
mean,
become
there's
a force.
so many forces against wanting us to do that too. Like, there's so much
Amen.
difficulty in it. Also, like I one of my big things, and I'm not the only one that has had this issue, is that I find all this beef with the Bible in terms of, like, why aren't women more centered? Why aren't women, and in one of my churches that I go to, that
Yes.
was open for COVID, which is why how I found them. And we were in the
Good.
park having church for 2 years, but they
Great.
really kind of focus on the fact that women are not allowed to be pastors, and women are have you know, and I understand to some degree, but I was also like, why aren't women, there's
Oh.
no women healing in the Bible, right? Like, why? So
Well,
I would,
but you know what? But you know what? There are, but they're not understanding it right, so that's not right. That's where that spirit of religion gets in the way. So if you were to go, let me just kind of, I don't know, share with you this little story, which happens every day in Israel. Okay. Paul was the Jews' Jew. Okay. He was a serious Jew. He was trained by one of the top Pharisees, and that's their highest level of ministers in the Jewish faith at that time, right? So he really knew the Jewish word backwards and frontwards. And one of the things that people always quote him as saying is, don't let women, speak in church and all that. Well, I've done all this work, and I'm an Israeli ambassador myself. I've been trained in Israel by the Israelis. I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. My grandfather was a kosher chef in New York City. And so the Jewish handprint is on my family. So anyways, I go to Israel, and I go to temple with one of my friends who is a Jewish business leader in Israel. And he says, you know, I can't sit with you. I said, I know. I said, I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. I'm like, I totally get it. And he goes, okay, I'm just saying. I go, okay, well, you go and do your thing, and I'm going to go and do my thing. So they separate the men from the women. So I go up to the women's gallery. There are beautiful Jewish babies crawling through my legs. All this stuff's going on. And they're swapping matzah ball soup recipes. They're talking. And the rabbi has started the service. And they're yakking, yakking, yakking. They're talking all this stuff. And God says, do you understand why we've been talking in the church? I said, yeah, like this. He goes, and can you understand that this hasn't changed for thousands of years? I go, yes. He goes, but what was Paul actually saying? He said, don't talk to your wives and answer their questions in church, is what he actually said. Because they, I actually saw this in one of the temples in Jerusalem. They would say stuff like, hey, Eli, what did Rabbi say? Like, looking up, like, who's talking like that? And the wives are yelling and talking. And that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And God said, nothing has changed for thousands of years. That's what it was like. And the women would miss something the rabbi said because they're getting a recipe over here or picking up the baby. And they asked their husband, what did he say? And that's why Paul said, teach your women at home. It was disruptive, but he wasn't against them speaking. How do we know that? Because in the New Testament, the women were all throughout the New Testament that were leading churches, house churches. That is all throughout the New Testament. And the only way you know that is if you read the Bible. Well, then let's go back to the Old Testament. Deborah was a judge. Do you know she's one of two people that was a judge for Israel and a prophet? Only two people in the Bible had that title, and that was Samuel, who ordained, David, who, anointed him to be king, and Deborah, the only two people in the Bible who were both judge for God's people and a prophet. So does God have an issue with women? No, he doesn't. What about Esther? Esther saved the entire Jewish race. And she, God didn't choose a guy to be king in Persia. He chose a woman to be queen. So God loves women. He just wants order. He knows that we talk a lot. So whenever I go to Israel, I always chuckle because I'm like, oh yes, here we go. The women are always talking in the women's gallery, and God's like, okay, head of household, be separate from that. They're always going to talk. They're always going to be doing their stuff. But you need to be on that ground floor. When the rabbi is talking to you, it needs to be like this, and you need to get it together. And it made me chuckle when I was there because I was being trained to be this ambassador for Israel, which I'm really happy about and blessed and honored to be that, because God loves his Jewish people. And we only get to know Jesus because we're kind of like grafted into that. Because in the beginning, there were more Gentiles who walked with Jesus than Jewish people at first. Paul talks about that too, all throughout scripture. He's like, because they didn't recognize their Savior, he said, don't get cocky about that, Gentiles. He said, you have been brought in by grace. You know, he's like, don't get cocky about it. He said, but you are allowed. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He said, you are allowed to make the Jews jealous for what you have. And so, I had an opportunity to sit with some of the greatest producers in Hollywood. You know, Hollywood was started by the Jews. Have I sat with my Jewish friends? I adore them. I love them. They call me their cousin from East Hollywood, because that's what they call Denver. And I'm just like, I said, and they always say stuff to me in LA like, hey, put another pot of coffee on. Tonight we're talking about Yeshua, which is the Hebrew name for Jesus. And so I like talking Hebrew and Greek, depending upon what part of the world I'm in, to bring the word of God alive, because it makes what he's saying that's just jump off the pages. And the more of an understanding you have of Greek and Hebrew together, once you start understanding the word in English, oh my gosh, it just goes off the charts. And I love it. And I have rabbi friends, and when I sit with them and they're telling me stuff, or we're going back and forth about stuff, as you saw in my book, I kind of go nuts over that, and we could talk on the same page. And they're not ashamed to talk to a Gentile woman, which most rabbis wouldn't be caught dead doing.
Interesting.
They
Yeah.
wouldn't do it. But if you go in the power of the Holy Spirit and you're talking their language, you can, there's some bridges that get built, and you see what
Yeah.
happens story, because that would not normally happen.
Yeah, that was an incredible story, and they were so enthralled and interested in your wisdom, you know. That was such a great, beautiful. I mean, all of your stories are wonderful, but that one was
Only
so
because
cool because,
he's the one, you know. But if you say, Kitty, if you start saying to the Lord, Lord, every time you open the Bible, even if you're just going to read one verse that really is a special verse to you or whatever, even if it's just that, just ask him to bring it alive to you and just start saying, like I did as a little girl, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Jesus, I want to know you. Show yourself to me. When I pray that, now I'm going to have to, you know, I think I put the story about the elderly lady in. Did I put that story in the book where
Which one?
Jesus came through her wall? Do you remember reading that?
Tell me more.
Where Jesus, this lady was dying of cancer, and Jesus came through her bedroom wall
I
two
don't think
hours like
so.
before she was supposed to die. Okay, because that story, oh my goodness, you know, I said that to her when they called me in here and they said, oh, she's about to die. Doctor said she's got 2 hours. And when I did that, that was my prayer, just one sentence. And she would just cuss me out. She always invited me to her house, but she couldn't stand anybody had to do with God. And she said, I hate the Bible. Don't want to know about it. She called me preacher. And she's like, preacher, what are you doing here? I'm about to die. You know, she's cussing and blinding, as the Brits would say. And I just said, well, I understand you're not going to be long with us. So is it okay if I pray with you one more time? Well, you might as well. I'm dying. I'm going to hell. I already know I'm going to all this stuff.
Oh.
And I prayed for her. I said, God, what do you want me to pray? He said, pray revelation for her. And I said, Lord, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal yourself to her. Do you know, within 5 hours after I left, I was flying to America that night. When I left, the Lord came through her bedroom wall and knocked her on her rear end. When that lady came to, Jesus was standing over her body speaking to her, and she just melted.
Whoa.
And she was supposed to die that night. She had stage four cancer, and she didn't. And she lived till I got back. Now, I typically, now when I go home, I'm home for about 6 months. I came back, and my assistant said, do you know some lady with this name? I said, no, I used to, but she's died like the night that I left. She goes, well, there's some lady by that same name calling you. And so I finally called her, and it was her. And she said on the phone, she said, I'm not telling you what happened on the phone. She's like, get your A over here. I
Oh
said,
my
yep, that's
gosh.
her. She didn't die. That's her. And so I called my assistant, because she was a head nurse here. I said, you're a cancer nurse. She goes, she should be dead at stage four. The doctors know when you're going to die. She's like, there's no way that lady's alive. I said, I'm sure it's her. I said, you want to come with me? She goes, I'd like to see this one. So she got in the car with me, went, and we walked in the door. And I said, well, what's the fire alarm about to her? She goes, well, sit down, preacher. She said, I met your boss. I said, wait a minute. Hello. And I said, whose boss? I was just giving her a hard time. I said, whose boss? She goes, your blankety blank boss. Like that. I said, oh. How do you know? How do you know it was him? She goes, he knocked me on my ass.
Oh my God.
I said, and how did he do that? She said, he came through the blankety blank wall like that. I thought, oh boy. And then she started weeping. She goes, I'm such a sinner. I'm such a sinner. I've made so many enemies in this world. I mean, she just lost it. She goes, I've got a confession. I said, sweetheart, you don't need to confess anything to me. I said, you know, you had the priest of all priests right there. You talked to him, right? Of course I talked to him. And I said, what do you remember most about him? I said, tell me. And she said, his eyes of love. She said, they melted me. They went right through me. She said, he didn't say anything bad. He just said he loved me. I go, of course he did. I've been telling you that. She goes, yeah, but he said it. I go, I know. Isn't that even better? So she had no pain. Stage four cancer, no pain. She wanted to confess all this stuff to me. I said, you don't need to. She went ahead and did it. And I said, what do you want to do now? Because you're still here. She said, I really think the boss wants me to say I'm sorry to everybody that I crossed in this life that's alive. I go, that would be a really good idea. I said, that would be great. She said, can you help me with my going home party? I said, I'd be delighted to. And she said, okay, preacher, no black allowed. I said, okay, I'm with you on that. I said, you want bright colors only, right? She's, yep, nobody's allowed to wear black. I go, good. Okay, we got it. She said, I said, what else do you want? She said, can you get my grandbaby to know the boss? I said, I can't make anyone meet Jesus. I said, they have to choose that. She said, but will you talk to her? I don't want her to go where I was going. I said, yeah, I certainly will. So she came to faith that day. The granddaughter came to faith. The granddaughter's new husband came to faith. And it just, we just kind of keep seeing what's going on. Nobody wore black to the funeral. The priest that she cussed out for years in her own village said that her last 6 months of life were better than her first
Wow.
because she made amends with everybody. She became the sweetest lady. And they said to me, the family said when she finally died, she got an extra year because Jesus came.
Wow.
When she finally died, they found her in her room with a huge smile on her face looking out the window.
Oh.
I believe the Lord himself came to take her. She was not in pain. From the minute he touched her, she was not in pain. Stage 4 cancer.
Wow.
And she died with a smile on her face. She was looking forward to heaven.
Wow. What a testimony. That is just
You know,
incredible.
it's so, and this is what I say to someone like you or anyone listening, that if the word hasn't, or Jesus himself, because he is the word, John 1:1 says he is the word. So if the Lord Jesus himself, and through the word, hasn't found a way to like grab you yet, ask him whenever you open the Bible, Lord Jesus, just reveal yourself to me. Every time I pray that prayer with people, stuff happens.
Well, I'll tell
Oh.
you right now that this is a little wink wink from our boss, because when I was walking down the street and started crying that day listening to your book, I couldn't figure out why I was crying at this particular moment. Like, it wasn't a the scene in the book was you're sitting having a cup of tea, looking out at some at the ocean or at a loch in Scotland, and there's fog, and you see this huge, enormous shadow coming up from the ocean, and you're like, what in the world? And it comes up, and it's this nuclear submarine because there's a base nearby.
That's
And
right.
that's when I started crying. But guess what? What did you say after that? You say, I the Lord spoke to me
Oh
in that
yeah.
moment and said,
What's hidden will be revealed.
yes. And
Yeah,
that
the
is
biblical.
exactly
That
the
is
little.
so funny, Kitty.
I
Wow.
was, why am I crying at this scene? This is not a crying
You
scene. This is
know
God.
what? Kitty, I believe he's gonna woo himself to you. Now, I just told you about, that elderly friend. And the Lord just took her as she is, and he would do the same for anybody hearing this broadcast, just like he did for the people on the train who did not know him. They were staunch atheists. But he showed up for them with his love, and he just touched them and gave them back their mother and their wife. And I just and look what he did with my friend. He gave her an extra year of life, and she had stage 4 cancer. And I think anyone listening to this, ask the Lord to reveal himself to you and watch what he'll do. Oh my goodness. It's going to bless you. And he knows each one of us so intricately, Kitty. He will only do for Kitty what will work for Kitty. Like that lady, she needed to be knocked on her rear end because that's the only way she believed it was him. But if you don't need that, then he's not going to do that. He knows his children so intimately that he will only give you what you need from him. That's really gonna hit the mark. And everybody's reveal is different, perhaps, because you're all unique. There's not one person on planet Earth, and now they've said we've just reached 8 billion people as of this week. 8 billion people on planet Earth as of this week. Not one of us in 8 billion is exactly the same. Even identical twins have something different about them. And the thing is that he's going to reveal himself to you in the way that best suits you. And I love praying just that one line prayer for people because they all have a story. He always comes back and it with something that will just woo them to his heart.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I know it's this, listening better and not getting in my own way and second guessing. There's all these wonderful things that I'd
Yes.
like to like take your courses and just get better at that,
Great. Well, we
it's
can
my
talk
goal.
about that. Tell you what, we did something online during lockdown. I called it lockdown listening. And I didn't know 90 people were listening all over the world. I didn't know that. I was just speaking like you and I are now. But my pastor asked me to do it because he said, I'm concerned that with churches closed, that people will feel isolated and they'll wonder where God is in all this. Please, could we do this, Shark? Can you put something together? And we did that, and 90 people somewhere on planet Earth were listening, and we did it for a whole month. And I just think, you know what? However we can get it out to people, we need to do it. Just the truth about how to hear, how to get quiet, even just the one-liner thing I talked about, just getting people to just take a verse and then the fun thing we do with it. What is that verse saying to you? Can you put a title on your own devotional? There are tons of devotional books in Christian bookstores, but what if you could write your own devotional? And that's what we show people how to do, one verse at a time. If you can do one verse at a time, you can then do a whole passage and it goes down better. And we show you how to do that, to apply the word to your own life, make it personal. Because you're just having a conversation with Father God in the Word. And that's what it's about. It can't just be black ink on paper. It's so much more than that. He actually will talk to you like what you're hearing. Isaiah 45, verse 3 says that what is hidden will be revealed. He says the hidden treasures of darkness he will pull out. So the things that are in the dark for us that we can't see, he will do the big reveal for you on that. And that's straight scripture. But what if you put like 20 ladies in a room and you gave them that verse? I bet you we would get 20 different things out of that. And so when I do this on a retreat with people and we just do one verse, and I usually say, we're going to have draw them out of a hat, and then you get to do your own little devotional on it and then regurgitate it back to us. That brings the word home to people in a way that I've never seen it happen before, because it's personal and we make it fun. You get to put a title on it, but we're also teaching people how to apply the word to their individual lives. And you could just use our one sheeter on that just for a sermon. I mean, it's just so beautiful what comes out of every single person just taking one verse at a time. Power.
What a fun project game, like thing to do with a bunch of women to sit there and like then read through all of that.
Oh yeah, and it's fun because everybody, you could, like I said, you could give 20 ladies the same verse and let each one of them put their own title to what the Holy Spirit said to them as they did it. Mind blowing. And so like when we first started doing this in our school, we had a lady that had an issue with her mouth and she was a gossiper. So I don't know, she did like, keep thy tongue from evil, which is, in the Old Testament. So we have everybody do a prayer for themselves. Oh Lord, open your word to me, blah blah blah. Jesus' name. Then you write out the verse. Then you, think about how it's going to be applied in your life. And she actually wrote out, God, I'm a gossiper. I just hate that about me, all this stuff. And then the last thing we have our ladies do is put the title on top. Last thing, because you got to let it sit with you for a minute, then figure out what you're going to say. What she said was for her verse, her paraphrase on that verse was, put a sock in it, meaning you don't need to open your mouth all the time. And her gag, her little gimmick to remember that, was she said, and we always ask everybody to say that, how are you going to remember this? Your paraphrase on this verse. She said, I'm going to put a sock by the phone and the computer, because that's where I gossip. Phone calls and the computer. I'll write something and it's gossip and I know better. And so her title was put a sock in it. And she said, I'm going to put a sock by every portal of communication that I have a problem with. And
That's
guess what?
hilarious.
Stop gossiping. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Because we all have our stuff. None of us are perfect. And God loves us where we are. But if that one lady could get that out of one verse, I thought, wow, what else could other people get if we just went one verse at a time? And then I help people understand passages and we go into that. And then that's where the construction worker I told you about, he didn't want to go to bed. His wife goes, I have never seen a man fall so in love. with Jesus Christ, with the word. I mean, it changed this man. He just couldn't stop reading the word. And then it balanced out, because the way we teach it is that you will fall in love with him. And one of the ways to fall in love with him is through the word. But to see a construction worker who hated school, hated reading, I mean, fall in love with that. She goes, I love my husband, but he's like not coming to bed. What happened? What'd you do? And I said, oh my gosh. And I said, hey, we got to have a chat. You're getting to bed. What's going on? He goes, the word, Char, the word. I get it. He said, I get it. And I go, right on, right on. I go, but you do get to go to bed with your wife at some point in this century. He goes, hi, Will. He goes, it's just now starting to make sense to me. But she loved that. Here's a Christian lady going, I never thought I'd see my husband fall in love with Jesus Christ. She's like, Char, thanks so much, man. I wish I'd taken the course. But yeah. She did. They had kids and stuff, and he went, blew our minds what came out of him. Then, you know, when you deal with that and the word goes in someone. And one of the things we also do in our school is let people do something with their gifts. And so he knew he was a construction worker. He liked to work with his hands. He said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Holy Spirit said, get a block of clay. He made a human hand with a nail in it. He made the nail. He designed it. He made a nail for each student in the class. There were like 100 people in his class that I taught.
Wow.
He made a nail for each of us, and he tied the verse on it with Jesus' blood. The hand that he did out of clay was anatomically correct, and it was in a V sign, V for victory.
Wow.
And the nail was in it. It was Jesus' hand.
Wow.
And the blood was coming down. And I said, that looks like something you see in the National Gallery here. I said, did you take art at school? He goes, no, I've never done anything artistic in my life. I go, where'd you get this idea? He said, Holy Spirit. That class blew our minds. Everybody was doing stuff like that. And it was perfect. It was flawless.
Wow.
I've never seen a class like that artistically. And they all said, no, I've never done a tapestry in my life. It looked like something you see at the Vatican. I was like, well, look at this tapestry. It's got the doves coming down over the wafer and the wine. I'm like, where did you get that? And they go, no, Holy Spirit told me to do it. I just drew it on a piece of paper. And this is what came out. That class was spooky. People that... Yeah, Catholic, Baptist, Anglican, Lutheran, Methodist. I mean, every kind of religion was in that class. And I mean, it was we have people that don't like to talk to people. I had introverts that are horse people and dog people that don't even like people. Yeah. They were driving 5 hours to get to that class. Why? The word of God came alive to them. Each person in the 100 fell in love with Jesus. I was like, I just had to sit back in the class. I said, y'all just teach it. I'm just going to sit here and take notes. I said, it was amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. And that's what happens when you get people to understand the power of the word. It's Jesus. It's more than ink on paper. It's him.
Yeah.
And everything I feel like God wants me to teach, it's got to be about him.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be him, because Char is just a girl. But the person who lives in me is off the hook in love with mankind.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got to let him out. I mean, he's not just for me. He's for you. He's for your friend, Kelly. He's for Michael. He's for everybody out there.
Yeah. Oh. Oh my goodness. Woman, you're amazing. And the Lord.
Yeah. But you know what? I just say, you know what would be fun? We should do. Get all your friends together when I come back, because I'm coming back end of March.
Okay.
We should see if we can plan and do like a little weekend retreat with your friends.
Dude, I was thinking just a minute ago. It's going to be called Hormones in Heaven. Hormones in Heaven.
I love it. Kitty, that would be the bomb. We got to do it. That would be so fun.
I'm down.
And we just bring fun so that we just make it fun. Because, you know, here we've had some really fun retreats here. And one weekend we did like a Holy Spirit Big Chill. Remember that movie, Big Chill?
Yeah.
We did a Big Chill weekend with like 100 women.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. We had so much fun. I was like, okay, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this? We're going to do with that. It was just so much fun. There were so many visitations of the Lord in that meeting.
Wow.
And I just, who knows what God wants to do in your area, Kitty. So
yeah.
I think that will be fun to set up something that causes women that you know to really get zapped by the Lord's love in such a way that they're like, oh my gosh, he talked to me. Oh my gosh, that verse just leaped off the page at me. And just let's see what God wants to do, because it really is about getting people connected to him.
I think so. And Kelly, you know, she works at one of the most, or she used to work at one of the most sort of high end beauty salon. What am I saying? She's an esthetician. So she does facials.
Oh, it's like a spa.
Yeah. Kind of like a spa. And it's called Kate Somerville, and it's like definitely all these celebrities. She comes in contact with all, she is like the celebrity queen, right? She's always working on people who are, you know, super famous, and she didn't care.
Fun.
She does not care. She will witness to you while she's popping your pimples. She does not care. She'll be putting on masks and massaging. And she's like, she is so, and she's the person who for sure, and I probably underestimate my contacts, but she really is an outreach person. Like, people love her. She knows tons of
people. She's probably the evangelist that's in the spa world. And, you know, when I had my show in Hollywood, that's all I did. People could not understand why they would ask for prayer in the green room with me and my sister. They're like, amazing. we had the head of the Directors Guild sitting in our studio asking if we'd pray for her.
I mean, you have so many beautiful stories of those kinds of encounters. Do you have like where, you know, like I've gone to the boardwalk outreach with my church a few times where there's loads of vagrants and homeless people. And we go out there and we just kind of witness or pray for people. And I mean, I didn't see many miracles, but I certainly got a lot of pushback and get the heck away from me with that garbage and all kinds of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You encounter that quite a bit as well, or do you feel like
when I first started, we did, and before I knew as much as I do now about the Holy Spirit. So my early 20s, when we came to London, I came as an actress with a Christian drama group. Mm-hmm. And when we first started performing on the streets where they do all their movie premieres, it's a part of London called Leicester Square.
Yeah.
And when we would do that, the gangs would like throw tomatoes at us and stuff like that because they were so against it. But when I started moving in the prophetic and just started taking that leap of faith in those early years of my 20s, and we started prophesying over gang leaders, and they would drop to their knees on the street weeping. Because there's no way a stranger from another country can read their mail like that. Wow. And I'll never forget it. This guy's yelling, he's cussing at us, he's throwing tomatoes at us and stuff. And we're doing a mime on the street. And I said, hey, and God goes, that one right there, the loudmouth, he's the gang leader. If you get the gang leader, you get the whole gang. And I said, hey, what's your name? He's like, well, who cares? And I said, I think my boss cares. I said, what's your name? He's like, Steve, what of it? Like that. And I said, well, I'm Char, but some people call me Charlie. Mm-hmm. And I said, were you ever a little boy that used to wonder if God was real? You used to cry out to God when you were a little boy, right before you went to bed, you used to ask God if he was real every night, and you'd be in your gym jam sitting on the edge of your bed crying. And he just hit the deck crying, tears just coming down his face. He's like, yes, you know, he's crying and everything. And then God goes, you need to go over to him and finish the prophetic word. So that was a word of knowledge, because I was talking about his past and his present. So when the gang leader got saved, the whole gang got saved. They all, if you get the leader, then they all drop to their knees. Yeah. Like, well, if it's cool for him, I want to meet Jesus too, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody wants left out. And that was the beginning. I thought, whoa, God, what just happened? And God's like, that's what I'd really like you to see you doing. If you would just look at each person and get my heart for them, and don't second guess yourself, don't be scared, just jump out there and do that.
Yeah.
Watch what's going to happen on this trip. And that was my first missions trip. My first time doing that, like, you know, with hundreds of people milling around because you're performing on the street, you're busking on the streets.
Right.
And that really got me. So it wasn't always like that for me, because that was like that first leap of faith. So yeah, I do remember people throwing stuff at us, but like it says in Hebrews 5, that if you practice and train, then the Lord lets you know what's of him, what's not of him. Mm. And man, oh man, Kitty, if you get that prophetic edge, meaning you just hear God's heart for someone and you step forward to speak it out, my goodness, it doesn't have to be some long, lengthy thing. You could say one word that can just totally grab somebody. It could be the one thing that they've asked God about and nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
You just never know what's going to happen. And even with that, you just kind of put your own thoughts down, go with what you're hearing Holy Spirit say, and watch what happens. because that's kind of what got me into just speaking with people on the street. Mm-hmm. You know, just, and also in airport lounges and on buses and trains
everywhere.
And like that. Yeah. Because I thought, wow, okay, God, really? You want me to do that? I mean, that was kind of scary, God. They were throwing stuff at us, and God goes, you know, they did stuff like that to me too. He's like, just don't worry about it. Just listen to what I'm saying to you. And it's like we had the earbuds before they even came out, because the Holy Spirit is your teacher on the inside.
Hmm.
He is your inner teacher. It's his spirit speaking to your spirit. And then whatever he tells you, you just let it come out. And it's maybe it doesn't even make sense to you, but it's not for you. It's for the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like what you're talking about, working with people on streets, get to work with homeless, get to work with, I like to do prison work. I've done a lot of work with men in prisons in America and here in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And prostitutes. I have a thing about prostitutes. Just love them.
Mm-hmm.
I just want, and trafficked women. I mean, same thing with them. They're pretty, you know, they've had some really hard knocks in life, to mm-hmm. say the least. And when you can hear what God's heart is for them and it comes out
mm-hmm.
and you hit right where they are, it lets them know that God sees them.
Yeah.
And it takes practice and training. Yeah. In my early 20s, I was like, okay, God, that was cool. But where can I go to get more teaching? So, you know, when our school opened up in the 90s, I think I was the baby on the team. Everybody else was in their 40s, 50s, 60s, but I was in my 20s. I was the baby on the team. I would come every night after work, and I'm like, really, God? I mean, how's this going to work, you know? But it was some of the best hours I ever spent learning how to hear God's heart for other people. And I know I wouldn't dream of not sharing that with others, because it's so pivotal, and everybody has a sphere of influence that I don't have. Mm-hmm. So Kitty has a sphere. Kelly has a sphere. Everybody has a sphere. Michael has a sphere. And if we know what our spheres are, and we just make it a habit to hone our spiritual hearing and our spiritual sight, God will run with that. Mm-hmm. He wants to use each one of us right where we are. He doesn't want us to emulate anyone but him, just him. And he's going to use your personality to do it. I mean, you know, my spiritual mentors, maybe they would do something different. You know, but the way that I am, it's just my personality, the stuff I do. God's like, oh, go do that, Char. And he would do the same with Kitty. He'd say, Kitty, go do this. And it's going to be the thing that is what you would do.
Yeah.
It will be a Kitty thing to do. Same with Kelly. Kelly does what she does every day because it's just where she is. And she's in her sphere of influence to do it. And that's great. And God just loves what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so right and so good. But he's going to take Kitty right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be your personality married with what Holy Spirit gives you to do, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. It mm-hmm. also makes it feel more not so daunting. You know, it feels more doable. Like, okay, I'm ready for that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And he just say to him, hey, God, reveal to me. We're going out on the streets tonight, God. Reveal to me how you want to pour me out. Just that simple little prayer. Watch what he's going to do with you. And you're going to get a peace. Anything that you have a peace about, Kitty, you know, it's the Lord.
Mm.
If you don't have a peace, don't do it. Don't follow through with it. It's
not
God.
That's great. Okay. That's really great.
Yeah. Okay. That's how I know I'm okay. If I get that, like, okay, that didn't come out right. I'm like, okay, go back and sit down. But maybe that's not okay.
Whoops.
But if I have that peace, which we call the green light, the green light corridor on the inside. And what is that? When you have peace, you know, it's him. Mm. If you don't have peace, back up, back up. It's all good. We can say, God, I got that wrong. Didn't mean that. That's okay. We're learning.
Yeah.
But when you do have that peace, you know, it's God and you can do it.
What are the nine, you mentioned the nine ways that God speaks to us, right? And when you're with the Israelis.
Yes.
They were the Germans, right? The German Jews. You talk about that in your book. You said that you were speaking to them. You were having like a Shabbat, and you were.
Oh yeah, there was a whole.
Them.
There were Russian, German, and American Jews.
Okay.
Over Shabbat, yeah. And
so
I was
telling them that. You started to say, you say two of them in the book, and Kelly was like, ask her what all of them are. The nine ways that God
okay
speaks
well
to
if
us.
You got your pen, I will tell you.
Okay.
I will tell you, first and foremost is the word, capital W, okay, is the word of God, because it's perfect and it's infallible. And it is the plumb line that you measure all the other eight ways of hearing God with.
Okay.
And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says the word is for reproof, correction, and it gives us the direction to know, what's of him, what's not of him. It is the plumb line.
Okay.
Keeps you straight. Two is animals and creation.
Okay.
Animals, creation, nature. So God can talk to you through a cloud. He can talk to you through an animal. I have certain butterflies that like a certain bush in my garden here in the UK, and that always talks to me. It's about change. It's about metamorphosis. And animals, people can have their own prophetic animal that just pop up in their lives, and God will speak to you through that animal. The traits of the animal can be married up with spiritual traits. So there's a whole thing to that in nature. So we see that all the time. Luke 19, verse 40 is one of the verses that talks about the rocks crying out to praise God, that God will use anything to praise him if he needs to. We see that in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, it talks about how the heavens declare the glory of God. And we're seeing a lot of that right now. So much happening in the heavens that let us know God's real. Third way is dreams. It's all throughout scripture. They happen now. Dreams. There are many prophetic people. That's how they hear God, is through dreams. So
Wow.
we see that in the story of Joseph. He was a dreamer, but he also had the gift of interpreting dreams. So Acts 2 and Joel 2 talk about dreams. And it's always about you lying flat, closing your eyes. That happens at night. Number four is visions. So visions are waking dreams. So when you have a vision, you're awake, but the room in front of you just disappears. When you have a vision, you could be catapulted into another country. You're just somewhere else other than where you are. Your body is there, but what you see with your eyes is totally different. And so you're awake when that happens. And so Acts 2 and Joel 2 are twin verses, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. They actually say the same thing. It says in the end times that God will pour out his spirit on men and women, and you will see dreams and visions.
Wow.
And they're two different things, but similar. So you
End
could
times,
be
that's now.
absolutely, you're absolutely right, sister. And it's happening all over the globe. We are seeing incredible visions and dreams about what comes next. And God is daily fulfilling biblical prophecy. So that's huge. Five is angels. So, yes, angels are in masculine form. They are fierce, which is why I think the Bible says throughout, fear not. Why? Because when you see an angel, it's pretty scary. I've seen them, it scares the car out of me because they come out of nowhere. I'm like, how the heck did you get here? And oh my gosh, please don't touch me. Is God coming to get me? It's that kind of thing that goes through your mind because they appear and then they're gone. And yet, if you need the services of an angel, you will get the services of an angel. Probably the most famous passage that talks about angels is Luke 1. So you've got John the Baptist's father having this chat with an angel. You also have Mary herself, the mother of Jesus, having this chat with Gabriel. And Gabriel says very clearly, I'm the one that stands in the presence of God. So, when you get a visit from an archangel, been there, done that. It is scary. I'm like, man, don't call my name. What have I done? It is scary because you're dealing with something that's not of this earth. So there's that. What about six? The sixth way is the audible voice. So that happens all throughout scripture. We look at Matthew 3, where Jesus is getting baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And it says the clouds parted and God said, hey, here's my son. I'm very pleased with him, blah, blah, blah. And we see the dove kind of settle on Jesus. We see that his public ministry is just about to begin, but his cousin had to baptize him. And so, very powerful passage, but all throughout scripture, there's the audible voice. The first time, I think, you see the cousins come together and you see that one is like the symbol of the passing away of the Old Testament. And then you see that new, the high priest in Jesus coming forth. So that baptism was really pivotal. But the seventh way is the sanctified desires of your heart. God will also speak to us through the desires that we have that are godly and marry up with what God's plan for us is. And I probably say in my life, that's probably one of the biggest ways God has spoken to me is that I just naturally want to do things that I know God is in approval of. And we can pray for that. And it, Psalm 37:4 is the verse that goes with it. It says that if you will delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And we always tell our students in our prophetic school that wherever your questions are is where God wants to take you. So understand that the desires of your heart have a lot to do with your destiny and your calling. And I go into a lot more detail on that when I do my Extreme Dream courses with kids, couples, singles.
Ooh.
Because there's so much in that. I'm like, okay, well, what's in your heart? And I always talk to strangers with this one sentence. What's your passion? And then the Holy Spirit starts talking to me about stuff for them. Amazing what happens. When you get people talking about their passion, and then the Holy Spirit goes, tell them this, tell them that. Crazy stuff happens, and I see the prophetic come out in that. And when you get people talking about their destiny, but maybe they're too afraid to fulfill it, powerful stuff. So that seventh way of hearing, very important, sanctified desires of the heart, meaning that they're desires that God approves of.
Okay.
Eighth way we hear is people. And you could have a prophetic word from a child. I've had that before. I've had six-year-olds prophesy over me. I've heard four-year-old babies prophesy in meetings I'm leading. I'm like, okay, God, go, that was a prophecy. Did you hear what that little boy said? That, I mean, and he says in scripture, he says, out of the mouths of babes, I have taught them how to worship and praise me. So we know children can, but also prophets. I'd probably say the other way that I've heard so much from God in my life is prophets that he has sent to speak into my life. And it's happened in England, then it started happening in America. Right now, I can't be within, I don't know, a foot of a prophetic person or a prophet without them saying, Char, it's time for you to go home, but not now. You know, I thought it was going to be earlier, but you are going next year, but here's what's going on. And these are men and women that do it 24/7. They've been trained by God, by the Holy Spirit, through his word, to give words in due season to people that are pivotal to your destiny. So many people will hear from a prophet and know what God is saying. And he's going to talk about stuff that nobody knows. For me to go to Hollywood, probably the top female prophet alive in America prophesied over me many times. She told me what my company was going to be like in Hollywood, and everything she said, Kitty, happened.
Wow.
She said it in front of my whole church. She goes to me and my sister, she said, y'all two, Ken, get out here in the aisle. She said, y'all two are getting ready to go to Hollywood. She goes, do you know that church? These two are going to Hollywood, and God has given you a vision for a production company. And I mean, my sister and me were like, oh my gosh. We prayed it, but we hadn't told a soul because, you know, we have no money. What in the world are we doing? We're from a single parent home. Really? And then the top lady prophet in all of America, she just read our mail.
Wow.
All of it happened. All of it happened. This lady's from Kentucky. And oh my gosh, she just nailed us to the wall on that.
Wow. Is she still around?
Yeah, as far as I know, she is. I looked her up the other day and I thought, she calls me her brown baby. Total Southern Belle. She's like, is that you, Brown? If I'm in a meeting somewhere, some conference, she'll just call me out. Every word she's ever said over our family has been bang. I'm talking accurate.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I told my sister, I guess we're going to Hollywood. My sister's like, hot diggity dog, you know? And everything she said, it all came to pass. Wow. All of it. So when that happens, you know, God's speaking. Here's what we say about dreams, visions, and all prophecy. It all needs to be written down. It needs to be recorded. If you want to receive more of it from the Lord, record it. It honors God. The only way we have the Bible is that it was scribed. So writing down what God gives you through a dream, even if you don't know what the dream means yet, write it down, date it, keep all these kinds of things, dreams, visions, and prophecies in a journal in chronological order. How are you going to walk out the destiny God has if you don't write it down? Some people go, but sure, it's on my iPhone. I go, well, you know, that's nice. It puts you in the moment, but you need to see it with your eyes. Only then are you fully responsible and accountable to God for what you read, what you saw, what you heard.
Yeah.
So important. And so I'm definitely living out, I'd say, probably 4/5 of everything that's ever been prophesied over me.
Wow.
All of it. I mean, every single bit of it, from the British prophets all the way to, Pastor Jan, who every prophecy she's ever given me has come to pass, every single thing. And yet there are many more. I mean, male and female prophets in my life that I trust, they should be seasoned. They should have a track record. They need to be accurate. They need to have a strong word level. If you're dealing with people at that level, you want to make sure their character exemplifies Christ. There's false prophets out there and there's real prophets. We need to make a distinction. You don't ever want to jump off a cliff because somebody false told you to. You need to make sure the character of the people that you're listening to and recording are actually of the Lord. So we teach all that in our school. And really, scripture is pretty adamant about that. To be a prophet of God, your character has to line up. And what you say, it needs to come to pass. Okay. Really important. And then finally, I think this is the way that God really wants to speak to most people, is the still small first voice. Revelation 4, verse 1, it says it's the first voice that John heard. Why? Because God's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is always going to be first when you say you know him. Whoever is first in our lives is who we worship. You know, if I was talking to a Satanist right now, the first person in your life would be Satan. But when you're talking to a believer, the first person in our lives that we worship, that we give homage to, is him. So his voice is always first. But we're also teaching, too, in our school that there's other voices that come in always that try to, you know, we said earlier, second guess. Well, your mind, your will, and your emotions will come in like a flood, trying to talk you out of stuff that God wants you to do. And then, of course, your flesh will say, ooh, I don't feel comfortable witnessing to that guy by the garbage bin. And so your flesh always wants what's most comfortable for it. Your mind, will, and emotions will often call you names. I mean, try to demean you in some way, battles up here to make you not do it. But you always have peace and wisdom and love coming forth from that still small first voice that will talk only to your spirit. God's spirit is not going to talk to your flesh. It's not going to talk to your mind always, because the emotions don't always tell the truth. Can all parts of us be in link with the spirit? Yes, they can be. The more you walk with God and his word, the more you renew your mind with the word, the more your body, soul, and spirit will line up with the word and with what the Holy Spirit wants. But until you get in that rhythm, the thing that, you know, most people are fighting is your soulish realm that is all about the emotions. The emotions make you go up and down all over the place. And then your flesh says, ooh, that I don't feel comfortable with that. You know, when I first heard from God to come to England, here's a real simple example of that. The Holy Spirit told me there was a call in my life to come to England. Okay. So I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I hear that. Prophets backed it up, set that down, wrote it all out, dated it, looked at it. Then my mind said, ooh, England is three times the cost of living of Denver. That was my mind talking. Do the math, right? Then my flesh said, ooh, it rains too much. I don't like rain. So the flesh was talking. Three different voices. God said, go. Holy Spirit said, go. The soulish realm said, it's too expensive. My flesh said, ooh, I don't like the wet. It's too wet there. It rains all the time.
17 years later.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. I know it. It's just so crazy where I'm like, okay, all right, you know. And God just said, you know, what do you want? And I said, well, I like living with your favor, God. He said, well, how do you get favor? I said, obedience. He goes, then you better get yourself a ticket. You better sell both your houses. You better give your car to charity. Wow. You better get over there. And I went to see my pastor and I was crying. He goes, it's time, isn't it? He ripped out the checkbook for my visa, my first visa. And he just took the church, mega church. We had a mega church, you know, all these different locations. He took the church checkbook out. He ordained me and he just wrote out the check for my visa. He goes, we always knew it was coming. He goes, you knew you were a short timer. He said, why are you crying? I go, well, because the time has come. He goes, well, you knew you were going. He goes, we all knew that. He goes, you're called to this, Char. So he wrote that check. He goes, go get yourself that visa. You know, I'm like, okay, pastor, I was crying and, you know, all that. And now I'm coming back. It's like, ooh, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, you've given me so much of your time. You're so generous. I'm so grateful. I'm going to
Well,
throw one. I'm going to throw a little curveball at you, which I doubt it's a curveball for you. And then we'll wrap it up.
okay.
So if God is sovereign, why pray?
If God is sovereign, why pray? Because he's a relational God. He's a
Explain.
relational God. And I love the verse that kind of backs this up. It's Amos 3, verse 3. It's one of the, we call it the lesser prophet, not because they're least important. It's just because the books are smaller. But Amos 3, 3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So God is all about relationship. The whole reason that you and I are sitting here right now, Kitty, is because God did not always want to be by himself. He loved the Holy Spirit and he loves Jesus. The three in one God is who we serve. But he wanted someone outside of the triplet. He created man because he was like, ooh, I like relationship. I like these little clay figures called the human race. They're kind of special to me. They're near and dear to my heart. Let's make some more, you know? And he loves relationship. And so prayer causes us to go to him often. Things are not perfect in this world yet. He says he's going to recreate, you know, what's coming, you know, the new Jerusalem, new planet, new earth, all that, new heavens, all that is coming. But where we're at, he's allowed these things because he has perfect timing for things. And he is allowing us to be in relationship with him. And when you pray, it's just a conversation with God the Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit. And praying, he loves that. He wants communication. It's what he had with Adam and Eve before they fell into sin. It said that, you know, when we look at Genesis, it said he walked and talked with Adam in the cool of the day, every day. And then when they listened to Satan, it just broke all that. He's like, oh man, you disobeyed. You know, I just love this relationship. He spent the next hundreds of years working out the plan to get us back in sync with him. And it cost him everything. It was like, my son, who is dearly beloved to me, will have to become sin in order for me to get them back. Because, you know, remission, redemption comes by the shedding of blood. And he's like, it's not going to do with pigs and cattle and goats and whatever else. It's got to be my son. It's got to be once and for all. I want the veil torn. I don't want to be separated from man anymore. This is what has to happen. And I thought, wow, okay, this is amazing. That's the kind of God we have. Levels of love. I mean, deep, deep love. He would do anything for one of us, but he did it for billions of us. Until he comes back. And he said, I'm going to wait to come back so that nobody dies. That doesn't have a chance to hear from me. He said, I wish that none would perish. So I'm like, why does every sphere have to have people like us in it so that we can reach all the people that are not going to go to church? What is the first Bible people read, Kitty? It's you and me. It's you and me. I'm always thinking about that. As soon as I leave my house, I'm like, oh God, you know, what does my face look like today? What does my hair look like? I'm representing the king. What do I look like today? Do I look like something the cat dragged in? Or, you know, what's going on here, God? Because the first Bible they read is going to be you. Does the Lord still do dreams? Yes, he does. Does he play favorites? No, he does not. And that's the other thing I get to do a lot of is help people find out what their destiny is from the Lord. And then encourage them, be the cheerleader on the sidelines, be the assistant coach to God's senior coach, and help them walk out that destiny in the Lord. And, you know, I think everybody has dreams of greatness in this life, but most people talk themselves out of shooting for it. And I really believe God has incredible plans for everybody. But, you know, will they obey what that still small first voice is saying to them is the question. And since I was a little girl, I'm like, I want my own TV show. And God's like, okay, well, let's just see what she does. Does she obey the Lord? Is she gonna just, you know, do it my way, you know? And it just so many people we got to pray for over the years and had some incredible experiences. And I'm sure God's not done yet with that. I still think he wants to see every celebrity know who he is, that he loves them and has a plan for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. LA, boy, we need God more than.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
because it influences the world. I mean, so much of what America has been blessed with influences the world.
Yeah.
And media is just huge. That, I mean, that whole, you know, industry is so huge.
Yeah.
And we have thousands of believers in the industry. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been my privilege to meet many of them, but we need more.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't want to lose anybody that really is meant to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth.
Right. Amen. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm just so grateful. That's really
yeah,
amazing.
well,
Your
thank
life
you
is
for
amazing.
inviting me, Kitty. What
Yeah.
a treat to meet you and just get some good feedback on my second book, because now we are going to start working on the sequel.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you for sharing that and letting me share a little bit about my favorite things with regard to the Lord. So
Yeah.
thank you.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed her. That was a tough show to edit because we talked for over 3 hours and she had so many stories, and it was really hard for me to, narrow it down. And I'm definitely going to have her back. So yeah, just enjoy. All her stuff is in the show notes, so please reach out to her. If she and I are going to do Hormones in Heaven, I will definitely be posting and talking about it here. It would be so fun to do some kind of health slash, spiritual retreat together. I really hope that I get to work with her. She's so fun. And yeah, so reach out to her if you'd like. Go to her website. Everything's in the show notes. And Merry Christmas. And just remember what the spirit of Christmas actually is all about, which is the Holy Spirit. All right. Love you. Yay.